Welcome back to the Loose Ballers, brought to you by the brand new Mazda BT50, the complete package. On today's show, Dil Buckley and myself, Xavier Ellis, we talk about all sorts of things and end up with a swingers party. So sit back, relax, put the feet up. We go from top to bottom like we do each week. Again, you're listening to the Loose Ballers. Enjoy. Good afternoon, Dil Buckley. How are you, mate?
Hello, my friend Xavier and Joshy Garth over there in WA. It's always good to speak to you, two beautiful people.
Mate, we've just been discussing stolen content. Well, not that I care. I just did a video with my little boy a year ago, but it's been pinched by all these cricket sites, websites like over in India and stuff. So, and Joshy, being the TikTok specialist, has had some stuff pinched. Have you ever had anything pinched content-wise?
I don't think my content's valuable enough for someone to steal it, but it is a big thing. I have seen it. I know how annoying it can be. Like, even for example, last week on List Cloggers, I have had things stolen from me, Xavier, and you know this.
Oh,
Channel 10 stole my big plug of when Cade Simpson came back from retirement. I broke it on Dylan Friends. It's massive news, and Channel 10 run with it. They cut out my head, all my logos, and don't even mention it.
That's right. You have had something stolen. The lead story on the news. I get it. Yeah. No, it's hard work, mate. Hey, we'll start here. Christian Petrarca, a man that you're friends with. Are you friends with him or associates?
Yeah, we'll definitely for this show.
Yeah, we're friends. One of your close mates. 7-year contract. So just on the 7 years today, I think about 6.3 million smacks. What do you? I think the money's perfect. I think he's probably the best. If I could pick someone in the competition this year to be in my team, I think he'd be the first one I'd pick. But 7-year contracts. What do you make of the length of a 7-year contract?
Yeah, well, when Truck and I were going through it, obviously we're friends, and he was, you know, one of my opinion on the deal.
Yeah,
I said it's great. It's fantastic. I love security. It is a good feeling.
Oh yeah.
And you know what it's like when you get to a stage in your career and you're battling for 1-year deal.
Oh yeah, so the 7-game trigger.
If someone offered me like 100 grand for a year or 100 grand over 10, I'd nearly take the 10 years. Like, that's how much I like security.
Yeah, I just don't know any 7-year contracts that have really worked out. I mean, Brody Grundy,
Buddy's gone well.
Wow, do you reckon he hasn't played footy for 3 years?
Yeah, but how old is he now? Like 35, 36?
Four, he's a year older than me.
No one thought he'd even see out that 10-year deal.
Yeah, I know. He hasn't played though. That's like, you're paying a lot of money. Brody Grundy's in his first year of a 7-year, and I think if they could get that back today, they would. There's heaps of them that have happened. Mm. Alistair Lynch, I heard someone talk about this morning. He signed a 10-year deal for $2 million.
Oh God, that sucks.
And at that time it was the biggest deal ever, 200,000.
What about our boy Toby Green as well? If we're talking about one player that you'd back in for a long period of time, I feel like he's the one that you'd feel very safe giving a long-term deal. He'd already signed, I think his original one before this was a 5-year.
Yeah.
And he's done another 5-year, it looks like, extension on top of that.
Toby Green, so how easy is that too? You just do one contract essentially. You see out your 5 and sign it again and do 5 more. Life's easy. What was the biggest deal? Not so much financially for you, but were you ever not on match payments?
No, I was always on matches. My deals went like this. My first deal I signed was a 3-year deal.
Oh, okay? What? Oh, so the extra year tacked on.
Yeah. So I got the extra year tapped on, right? Worst thing that ever happened, because I just thought I was going to be the best thing in the world. Going into my third year, I contemplated putting me on the rookie list.
Yeah.
And they didn't. I actually had a really, probably my best year of football I ever played was in my third year, because I knew like it was do or die.
Yeah, go time.
Ended up signing another 2-year deal after that. And then after that, signed 1 year, 1 year, 1 year, 1 year. So,
yeah,
you can say it was pretty stressful times in the Buckley household.
What about in your actual life? Do you have a manager or someone that does your deals now, or do you do it yourself?
You know, I've got some people that look after that now, thank God.
Yeah.
It's actually funny, you know, like with Dylan Friends, for example, the bloke in a bar deal, you know, it's not per se a contract like we can't get out of it, but they're committed to me now for 5 years. And it's like, I couldn't even get that when I was playing football, let alone now I'm finished. A beer company is like committing that much, which is incredible.
The with my radio stuff, I did my first contract myself. So I did one, and then when I was out of contract the first time, so I went in there and had a meeting, and they offered what they offered, and I sort of went in with my three things I needed changed, and I walked in and said, I wasn't even negotiating with anyone who had power to say yes or no. It was more like they were just the sounding board to then pass the message on to those people who make the decisions. And I went in and said something like, right, I want access to the building 7 days a week whenever I want. I can use whatever I want. No ifs, ands, or buts. Like, it's ticked off as though I'm a full-time 24-7. This is my sort. And they said, yep, no worries, perfect. The other one was, I walked in and said, I want an extra week holidays. And they said, yep, no worries. You can have an extra week on your holidays. And I was really nervous about this. I was like, now this one, I don't know if I'm pushing it or not. So look, you're going to have to go away and think about this. And, you know, we'll come back. I said, look, I want $5,000 extra. And the lady who had no power said, yeah, done. Is that it? I said, yeah. She goes, yeah, done. Your deal's done, okay? Shook hands. I was like, oh, shit. What have I done?
You went way too low.
Mate, I went so low. Like, the lady who literally was like the receptionist has made my contract official. Like, I could not, but I walked off. God. And everyone goes, how'd you go, mate? I said, oh, I think I fucked that one. Anyway.
Yeah.
So that's that. The all good, though, now, I suppose. I just get bent over every time I'm out of contract at the moment as we speak. So there you go. Mate, with the COVID stuff, do you guys ever think about COVID over East anymore, or you just don't even think about it? Everything's back to normal.
Because we're obviously. I love that you guys, now that you've been in one lockdown or two lockdowns now for a couple of days, you think that you can like relate to Victorians?
No, like,
don't even try. Like, honestly, you don't even have this conversation with me right now. Okay. You're fine. You're going to be okay. You'll get through it, right?
We're talking about
people. You'll be fine.
We're talking about match payments. I get paid to do the radio on the Saturday, Sunday, and without the footy, I don't get the payment. So I'm literally in the VFL at the moment, scrapping to feed the family. I really needed to come back. No, in all seriousness, are you full crowds and everything? Like, there's no caps or restrictions?
The crowds are pretty full. I think, from my recollection, they're from about 70% at the crowds at the moment. But look, the games feel like they're pretty full, and the crowds have been awesome. There's a lot of people there. The noise is fantastic. Even like having a crowd back when you're watching on TV is a bonus, because you like can actually hear the atmosphere in the background.
Yeah.
That was like the biggest thing for me in COVID last year. I don't actually go to a lot of games. I watch them all on TV.
Yeah.
But watching a game with no crowd there or panning to the crowd, that's the worst part.
Mate, I was that bored on the weekend watching the Derby, the West Coast Fremantle, after halftime when it blew out. I actually got on my Twitter page and started looking for the COVID sites in Perth to see if I was at one so I could go home. That's how bad it was. It was the biggest shit show ever.
That was a shocking game.
Yeah. Do you agree with Fremantle leaving Perth for financial reasons?
Sorry. I have seen this, but I'm not. I actually wanted to ask you about it. What is the rules around this? Like, I haven't actually seen the full structure.
So they're off to Brisbane. They're in Brisbane now. They flew out today. So they play them round 21, I believe, or something like that. So they just simply flip the schedule. So at the end of the year, Freo will have essentially three home games in a row, and Brisbane will have to come over and return the favour. I guess that's how it is. But they couldn't cop the financial loss again. So West Coast not having a crowd at the Derby. Did you hear how much that cost them?
Was it $2 million?
Yeah, over $2 million, I reckon. So, and Fremantle aren't obviously as big as what West Coast are. So they're like, nah, we can't cop an empty crowd again financially. So the AFL have just said, yeah, but no worries, guys, get over to Brisbane, play in Brisbane, then they'll head down to Melbourne. So they'll do the double road trip and then come home. And the back end of the year, they'll play a shitload of games in a row.
Pretty smart, man, especially for a team that, look, let's be honest, they're probably not going to be challenging for a premiership. To get on the road and get out and do the best invite and save the money is big. It's just sort of, for me, I'm thinking, why would Brisbane want to do this? Like, they actually feel like they're going quite well.
Yeah.
Does that mean that they have to finish off the season not at home?
Yeah, they have to return it back. The only thing with Brisbane was they were in the same position early in the year and everyone made decisions to make it, to switch games around so Brisbane could get out and play.
Yeah.
So I think, and Brisbane of all clubs who didn't leave the Gabba last year for the entire season nearly, they have to sort of eventually make a few exceptions for the COVID situation. Did you catch the Derby?
I watched the first half, like you said, but after that I was look, you know, Sunday arvo, as a lot of those games are, we touched on it last week. After about halftime, I really, really zoned out of that one. But yeah, look, I was expecting it to be a little bit more competitive than it was. I'd actually tip Fremantle. I thought like in the form of West Coast at the moment, they actually might see it there and want blood and put on a good show as they normally are. But there was a bit of backlash on it, wasn't there? Like, you know, when we put up that tweet for everything that we spoke about last week, a lot of people were saying that, you know, the Derby isn't even as big as a showdown or as big as any other rivals anymore.
Yeah, I heard Kane Corns made a comment that it doesn't sit in that category. But, I mean, all you got to do is put yourself in the seat when Andrew Gaff clocked Andy Brayshaw and see how much the Derby meant to people. So I think unless you're living in here and you understand the feel and the divide amongst the Fremantle West Coast supporters, I guess it's hard to make a comment from Adelaide or whatnot. Talking about hits, Andy Brayshaw and Gaffey, did you catch the Paddy McCartan?
I did, mate. I saw that online. And look, I know it's such a hard one. Like, I know Paddy really well, and he's such an awesome dude. He's such a good bloke. And it really just does look like very similar to Gaff, you know, like they've just gone to probably punch off or hit the chest and they've just gone bang and it's just hit up and collected in the wrong spot. But yeah, he'd be the first bloke that'd be most disappointed about himself because he had a really cool opportunity up there at Swans. And not saying that that's going to define anything in his career, but there was obviously an opportunity there if he was playing good enough footy with the way that it's all going this year with, you know, these pre-season mid-season drafts and stuff that there could be an opportunity that could transpire. It's going to be hard to see if that would happen now with enough games before then.
Yeah, he said that he was suffering from a low with diabetes. Have you ever played with anyone with diabetes?
No, I don't think I have.
Mate, at West Coast, Jamie Cripps is a type 1 diabetic. And there's a story about 5-6 years ago. So Cripper was a consistent player, but not like a household name player. I think he's only at 200 games now, but his insulin pen was cracked and he kept trying to give himself insulin and it wasn't going in. And he woke up and was feeling really sick and then realized it was cracked and not working properly. So replaced the end, I think it was. And then, so when he went to jab himself, the gun was loaded with more than one dose. It was loaded with the doses that he'd pre-tried to get in himself. And then whatever he was trying to prevent, a higher or low, it flipped over and went in the complete opposite. And he was blacking out and dizzy and had to lay in the bath and like was really, really bad, in a bad, bad, bad way. Anyway, the next morning he was telling the docs and the coaches and ended up playing the next day, which is crazy. Like, he's a tough prick. Anyway, they said, why didn't you ring the docs, Cripper? And he goes, I just didn't want to wake him up at 4 a.m. I just didn't want to disturb him. So I went and tried to sort it out myself. He laid there. Oh, mate, just a country boy. Credit to him and Paddy as well to navigate their way through an AFL, or anyone with diabetes, I suppose, to navigate their way through sport and extension professional sport, riding the highs and lows. I had an incident last year at my house where a car nearly went through the front of my house. And I went out, the windscreen wipers were on full clack, and I was like, what's going on here? And because I could hear them screeching because it was summer and the windscreen wipers were on. And I walked out and this bloke was lying like spaz, like his body was fully, you call it fully spastic, it's kind of, and I thought he was high on meth, like really, really, really high on meth. So I was a bit tentative. I was home alone with Ted, my two-year-old. Anyway, I went out and the neighbours knew the guy and I was like, mate, what's going on here? Like, am I going to have an issue? He's obviously fully affected on drugs. And we went over and he was having a low or a high on diabetes. Yeah. So
his body was like in spasm or something.
Yeah, and so, mate, he's lucky he didn't put it through my house, but ambulance and everything, and they injected him and all that sort of stuff and came good, but he was having such a low. Like, so now I sort of understand and appreciate what the diabetic people have to deal with. If it does turn to a, and I wish I knew whether it was high or low, I'm pretty sure it was low. You appreciate this bloke, and I just assumed he was high as a kite and having issues, but the poor prick was having a massive issue with his diabetes.
Look, as I said, I chatted to Paddy a lot about this and didn't, you know, wasn't really fully aware of what happens if the insulin goes too low or too high. But if that's something that has happened, then that's something that's probably got to be taken into consideration when they're ruling on this.
Well, you got, what do you get, five? I thought he probably deserved eight, to be honest with you. But anyway, you take your five and run off. Did you see Bailey Fritsch? He got that elbow. The inconsistencies at the moment a little bit.
Oh, mate, that is honestly, if tell me right now, if that was Toby Green, he'd be put in jail.
Oh, yeah. Like, I understand what he was, like, if it was a half a second later, the hand would have been extended. But it wasn't. that towel, Freddie's going to be an absolute gun, by the way. Mate, that absolutely knocked the stuffing out of him. How many weeks you and Toby would have got?
Eight. I reckon he would have got eight, honestly. It's honestly, you'd have to be buying Tom Power a few beers after that, the way he got up and played the game out, because if that was me, I wouldn't be getting up off the ground and seeing, you know, he probably would have got like 3 or 4 weeks at least. Like that was a really big hit.
Yeah, bloody oath it was. I've got an apology too about Giants at the moment. They're going pretty well.
They are. They're going very well. What about your Western Australian zone? The poster boy there for a long time, Jesse Hogan. He's kicked 4 in his debut for the Giants.
Yeah, I know. And on top of that, Sam Taylor, another West Australian, saw he got, I think, 8 coaches award, coaches association, or 6 coaches votes. Old Sam Taylor, ooh, he's going to be good. Jesse Hogan, did you watch that game?
I did, yeah. I watched the game, and it looked like, we've talked about Sam Taylor a lot, but he will honestly be an All-Australian fullback soon.
Yeah. Jesse Hogan, they just got to keep it simple with him. I can't stand clubs that put him on the wing and try him in the midfield. Just play him at full forward and tell him to kick goals.
Keep him dead. Yeah.
That's as simple as that.
What did you make of the Carlton Essendon game? Did you catch that? Because I was watching this one pretty closely on the weekend. A week's a long time in footy, a month's a long time in footy. Essendon are getting ridden off to saying they've got nearly the worst list in the AFL. They're the furthest away from winning a premiership.
Yeah.
A month later, they've nearly got the best young guns in the comp.
Yeah, no, I agree. I did a poll the other day. Who would you rather? Who's closest to a premiership or something? Oh, I think Essendon are of that young crop. I reckon they've absolutely butchered the last 20 years of their club since, you know, the 2000s, where they were dominant. Those kids, the three kids they've got drafted in a row last year, are going to be absolute stars. They just got to find a way, and I know it sounds a bit hard or a bit harsh, to try and get Dylan Scheel and those guys. I don't know when their contracts expire, but they're no longer a priority at all. The players that they've bought in are no longer a priority. You get them on low base, put them on match payments, whatever it is, because they've just got to invest. They're still 5 years off it. No doubt. They're still 5 years off. So there's no need to pay these blokes big money. You may as well try and bring in another young kid or retain Zach Merritt, who's 25 and a free agent, and give him the cash, because the way they chased mature ages and thought they were at the window many a time was nowhere near what they needed to do. And Adrian Dodoro now has absolutely nailed that draft. They just need to go back to the draft again this year, stock up on kids. If Dylan Scheel or any of those guys want to leave, trade them off, get rid of them, get the draft picks and go again, because I reckon they're another strong draft away of really setting up a dynasty at the footy club. I did catch the game, and while we're talking about kids, I know he's been in the system for 3 years, but Sam Walsh, I know he's a bit of a hype man at the moment, but what I love about Sam Walsh, and I don't think many people, I don't have heard him speak too much about it, is you see the star midfielders in the comp, and they kick the ball a lot. And don't get me wrong, I love blokes that kick the ball, but Sam Walsh is the most unselfish star of the competition. The way he navigates through congestion and then pops out and will handball it, where a lot of the time those stars, because they're so good, can just turn around and bomb it or whatever. But he genuinely picks it up cleanly and then snakes his way out the back to find the best option, Saad or someone coming off halfback. Sam Walsh, gee whiz, he's a good player.
He's a absolute genuine superstar, mate. I think, just to further your comments on the way he plays, like, one thing I love about him too, and I reckon a lot of players do, like even the guns do, which is a pet hate for me, he never goes backwards. So with his possession, he's always moving forward. As you said, he might give off a lateral handball, but besides that, every possession he gets, he's going forward. He's forward handballing, he's kicking it forward to advantage. Beautiful skills. He might feature in some votes that we have later on from my point of view.
Oh, nice. And he's Carlton's best player, isn't he, by a fair way?
I think at the moment he definitely is, yeah.
And Big H would be the second best. He's an impressive
mate,
kid.
Zay, I ran into Big H the other day, and I had probably 3 years with him at the Blues.
Did you?
His first three seasons, which we always knew he was going to be, you know, he was playing in the VFL. I was lacing him out down at Preston City Oval every now and then.
How was he not promoted to AFL quicker with the service he would have been getting down at Preston Oval in the mud?
Well, they didn't have it in the ones. So, yeah, unfortunately, he just wasn't getting the same. But honestly, he'd be the first person to say he was not ready. He was not seasoned ready for AFL his first few years, and they actually did a pretty good job by not giving it to him too early, I think.
Yeah.
But now I ran into him the other day down the street here in Melbourne. He is as white as a truck. I've played with some big boys.
Yeah.
He's up there with the biggest bloke I've seen. Like I would say the only other player that's really been took me at all being like, shit, this bloke's big is Buddy Franklin. Like he's a similar size, probably bigger.
Mate, I've been very slow. I'm not a big Carlton lover, so it takes me that extra week or the extra 2 weeks before I fall into line and go, actually, he's pretty good. And I do this team of the week over here in the West, and I've been smashed a few times for not having Big H in. Well, I found room for him on the weekend, and I reckon he might be a weekly visitor.
Hey, one question with Aaron McCoy, okay? And this might be a rule that I don't know. I've noticed at the moment, anywhere between 30 metres out, he does the snap for the goal, right? Plays on and has the goal. What happens if it's after the siren? Like, you can't do that.
No, so you can. You're allowed to snap it after the siren, but rather, you know, so say the line that you go on after you take the mark is always to the centre of the goals, and he runs off from that point and opens it up. You're allowed to run, but you have to start behind the line. And then you end where you've marked it. So you don't really get that advantage. So there's no, you run around. There's
one thing that really, because I'm thinking, you know, like further down the track one day, if they're playing, you'd rather practice it like that than practice it just playing on every time.
Because
you don't want to get to the big stage after. Imagine trying to kick for the win and you're like, fuck, what do I do here?
I absolutely hate the snap at goal. I absolutely hate it. From
it
directly
just screams
in front.
I've got no confidence.
100, and look at Joe Danaher, who is a star of the competition. The work you put in to get that ball forward and then he hits one off his knee and you go, oh, my God, back in, you know, it just, the drop punt from 40 or from 30 in front, the snap just worries me. And Big H, who I've watched a shitload of this year, he's getting those snaps over the line at the moment. But I reckon about three have only just got over. Like, he's hit them pretty skinny, and they almost just go head height. And is he a bad kick of the footy? Is he that bad a kick of the footy that he needs to do that?
No, he's not. But it's funny because even early days of him playing, I remember like VFL and training, like he was always doing that snap for goal.
Yeah.
So it's something that he's just really comfortable with, and you know, like each to their own. If it works for
well,
for him
statistically
at the moment.
Statistically, they say that kicking bananas and stuff from the boundaries through the roof these days compared to going drop punts. So it works. Yeah. It's just a strange look going from directly in front. Now, our good mate Joshy in here, Dilly, throws out any questions for a bit of question time. His mic's on. His mic's live. Joshy, what popped up today, mate?
We got a couple early. First one, pretty easy one. Port or West Coast, or easy. Who's more likely to make the grand final? Not win the cup, just be there.
Deal, you have first, mate.
Oh, God, this hurts me to say, Zave, an audience, because you know how much I love the Eagles.
Yeah.
But it's Port.
I would say Port Adelaide as well, but I'd say neither of them can win at home. Win away from home at the moment. Port got absolutely demolished by West Coast and Brisbane, and West Coast have been demolished by every team when they leave the state. So, in terms of, I'd choose Port Adelaide. I think that the game style I really like. West Coast at the moment, when it's not going their way, it doesn't really fire up. So I'd say Port Adelaide, but I think both are playing pretty ordinary away from home and probably need to sort that out pretty quickly.
At Eddie Smith, 86, what aspect of footy were you least prepared for, both of you?
For me, injuries. I just assumed that I'd play every week of my life and wouldn't have an injury or anything. So I think dealing with injuries, missing 3 or 4 years of footy, the mental side of footy rather than the actual footy side, sitting on the sidelines, getting physio, breaking bones, all that sort of stuff. So I'd say the bit that caught me off guard was, the injury side of things.
Yeah, I'd have to be pretty vague and say just everything to do with not playing footy, like just the mental side of it, like that it's just all encompassing. Like you literally cannot escape it. It's everywhere you go, everything you do. That's your identity. Unfortunately, it's very hard to be someone outside of playing it, and it sort of defines who you are. You can say that form doesn't affect you, but you'd be lying. It does. Selection doesn't define you, but you look realistically, it does. And your life sort of lived out in the public eye. So it sounds very depressing, but it's actually an incredible job, but it is very challenging.
I remember the first day deal where we went from me and we were coming back from Adelaide, myself and Grant Birchall. We got out with Hawthorn, but I was with Birch and we were both 19 or 18. And I remember saying to Birch, like, there's not much fun anymore, is it? Like early days, how the game goes from being fun and the stuff you did as a kid to it's a job. Like it moves pretty quickly, doesn't it? To fun to a job.
Yeah, it is. And when
with
you get,
highs.
Like, that's, yeah, definitely with highs. And that's like, you know, people that work normal jobs, 9-to-5 jobs, like there's good parts of that and there's annoying parts of that too.
Yeah.
It's not saying that there's no fun in it at all. There's a lot of fun, but there's also a lot of meetings. There's a lot of scrutiny. There's a lot of feedback. There's a lot of uncomfortable positions that you put yourself in. But I think in saying that, it really does give you the best platform to then go into.
Oh, absolutely.
Into the real world and do the best you can from there too.
Do you always hate it when you're watching the footy and there's some bloke who clearly couldn't? So it's like, mate, they get paid to do this. They can't even kick it straight. But like, do you hate when people do that sort of thing? Because I think about that and I actually think about it as like, well, I get paid to do my current job. I'm pretty shit at it as well. So
I get annoyed when, say, one of your mates, one of your close mates is like player number 20 on the list and they're really good, like really, really good blokes and really, really harmless and would do anything for anyone in the community. And supporters like, nah, he's a dick. He's shit.
Yeah.
And you're like, mate, you don't know him. You actually, why have you got your knickers in such a knot over player 20 on the list who's paid not to win games? He's paid to be player 20 on the list, yet you tear shreds off him every week. That's the part that I don't get.
Couldn't agree more, Zay. That's my biggest thing. Like, I honestly have a scale and it's like the better you are as a player, the worse you are as a bloke sometimes. The worst players are
100.
You rip into them. They're the ones that you'd actually want to have a beer with. They're the best blokes ever.
Like and the ones that aren't great and last like 8 years, you just know that they are the best blokes in the footy club because they haven't served a lot. They haven't done a great deal. But every year when preseason comes around, the boys look around and go, oh, he's back. Cool. That's good. He's got another year,
didn't
he?
Sweet. I think that's honestly my last 2 years at the Giants. I was just like, look, we don't need this bloke, but like not going to do any not going to do any damage.
Yeah.
You know, let's just keep him
around. Mate, there's 44 on a list. They're 22 play. You allow for maybe 8 in rehab. You still got to fill those spots up. So you may as well pick
a
couple. You may as well pick a couple of good blokes. Just
culture guy.
Yeah, culture guys.
Yeah, culture.
Who's that Miami Heat bloke? Udonis Haslem.
The guy that played the most seasons.
Well, he's still on their books.
He's like 42.
Just doesn't play. He's a real culture guy.
Far out. It's a bit different when you're on 700,000 to be a culture guy.
Good call.
Sean Jasper, at Sean Jasper. Friday night doubleheader. What do you guys think of it? There'd be a East Coast, West Coast fixture, or do you prefer just the one-off, the sort of, the spectacle that is just being a part of that one Friday night fixture?
Well, I do a radio show the next morning as well, and I go to the Bowls Club on a Friday. So if it was a doubleheader, there's no chance I'm going to be in a reasonable condition on Saturday. So one game's plenty for me. Sit back, enjoy the one game. I love catching up with my mates. I catch up, deal with Eric McKenzie every Friday, and then a scattering of others sort of litter through the Bowls Club. So it's locked in. One game of Friday is perfect for me.
Yeah, I must say, no interest on a doubleheader on a Friday. But one thing I do love is a Thursday game. I love Thursday, Friday, Saturday night.
Yeah, agree. Actually, one thing I don't like is the games that are being played that overlap each other. So I like to try and watch all the games at some stage. So I use KO or IQ. I just simply IQ it on Foxtel. But Foxtel, for some reason, have the scores down the bottom of the screen. You can't avoid. Anyway, I was talking to Tanya Armstrong over here the other day, and she sticks a bit of electrical tape on the bottom right hand corner of her TV so she doesn't know the scores. And I'm like, what? I'm going to start doing that. A bit of tape down the bottom.
Smart. Very smart.
Couple more quick fire guys. Favorite alcoholic drink, if you had to drink one for the rest of your life. That's from Isaac Dowling 4.
Oh, mine would have to be a nice bloke in a bar lager. The best lager in the business. It's to look after them. They're fantastic. You can actually go on blokeinabar.com, find your nearest retailer.
Do they sell them over west?
.com.au and you can get them online. They do. They'll get delivered to you, I think. I don't know if they're in any stockists over west yet.
Right. Okay. Well, let us know when they do that. That will do something. My favourite would be single fin, pretty stock standard. Mostly because when I was younger, I'd used to drink Carlton Draft, and I'd be hung as a horse for 24 hours after and spew. This stuff, I know that I'm just not going to be sick.
Pretty good for a WA beer as well.
Yeah, it's good, isn't it?
At Schland Smith, Darcy Moore to the Bulldogs for 2 first-round picks. Who would say no?
Well, if Darcy Moore is a forward or Darcy Moore is a defender?
Darcy Moore is the swingman, or whatever you want.
Oh, mate, playing forward, they've got to be done with that. The Pies are under a fair bit of pressure over there, aren't they, Dil?
They are, mate. Yeah, it's really starting to heat up over here with the Pies. I think that one on the weekend, losing to Gold Coast on the MCG, fair enough if that's on at Marvel Stadium, but Collingwood can't be losing on the MCG.
But they weren't going that shit at the start of the year when Moore was playing back. Like, Moore was the best defender in the game, and now he's a forward. Yeah. Like, you and I could almost play that role.
I don't know why they're playing him there. It's you know what? The only one thing I do like about him playing there is it humanises these defenders a little bit. Like, it makes you realise how hard it is to actually play forward.
100%.
Like, you know when people go back and they play back line and like chop off all in his mark, then they go forward and they can't take a catch. It is so much harder to be a forward than a defender.
You think, how good's Buddy Franklin? I know Bud would battle down back a little bit, but he'd work it out, whereas you can't work out being a forward if you can't touch the footy. I would say, who would say no to that deal? I'd say the Western Bulldogs would say no to that deal. Darcy Moore, 2 first-round draft picks. They got Jamara, Ugal Hagen, and Norton and all those sort of guys. So I reckon maybe they say no.
No need to change it. But thank you, everyone, for the messages this week, and get them in next week when we put the word out. Over to you, boys.
Absolutely. Well, we'd like to do on a Wednesday, mate. We'd like to finish off with a nightclub player of the week, where this is just a guy who has played well on a Saturday. Saturday night, he's heading out to the bars and the clubs, and the fanfare's all about him. It might not be the biggest name in the whole AFL, might not ever get a drink card, but from the weekend's performance, they've got all the bells and whistles.
Sick.
Oh, yes.
Yeah,
so sick.
I need to line up here, Superstars heading.
That's still some of your best work there, Joshy.
Now, look, it is. It's amazing, Joshy, and you don't ever surprise me because you're an absolute superstar. look, mate, I was going to go with Walsh, but I've just changed it up because, look, we all know how Sam Walsh is. He's been doing this for years. He'd be easily getting the drink cards at nightclubs.
Yep.
One player I absolutely loved watching on the weekend, and then I found out a little bit more about him and made me even respect him more, was Archie Perkins.
Good looking boy.
Not only is this bloke just a handsome devil, he also said in the draft, excuse me, recruiters, excuse me, Fremantle, West Coast, Adelaide, Port Adelaide, Sydney, Giants, Brisbane and Gold Coast, I have no interest in travelling interstate.
Yeah.
And if you pick me up, I will not be going there.
Oh, no.
So he's just a big Melbourne boy, loves it. So I thought, why not? I think he's from Brighton. I don't know where any clubs are out in Brighton, but he seems like he does not leave that area, which we love.
He looks like, and, he looks like that.
Wherever it is, he'd be getting some drink cards in Brighton.
You know what he called? Well, I could tell you where he's probably going to head for the weekend. Actually, Dill, there's a video of going around of him that he Snapchatted of himself or whatever, saying he's the king of Portsea. Does that surprise you though?
Does not surprise me at all.
My player of the week, and this bloke probably does need a hand getting in and does probably need a hand with a drink card. He's moved clubs, he's had brain surgery, all that sort of stuff. Jack Higgins at St Kilda at the moment, kicked 4 goals on the weekend. Didn't look like getting near it at halftime. Popped up with 4 goals in the second half in the blowout win for the Saints. So, Jack Higgins, and he looks like he'd be a bit of fun on the piss too. So, Jack Higgins, you're the man. You're at the nightclub. You're rolling into 7 nightclub on a Thursday night, uni night. You're in there shaking bacon, doing all you need to do on a Thursday night. You've played on a Thursday night, so you're going straight after that. Well done, Jack Higgins.
Well done, Jack. We love that. It was funny. I don't know who did this tweet. It might have been our own Joshy on Twitter saying that the new Scott Pender played basketball is Jack Higgins used to support the St. Kilda, support St. Kilda. Like, it's just the new thing that everyone is saying at the moment. It's ridiculous how much that gets played.
They dust off that photo of him eating the chocolate bar in the stands all the time. But Jack Higgins, good to see him back playing footy in all seriousness. Now, mate, I'll let you go. Just want to quickly get a quick tip from you in the Xavier Ellis Cup this week, Hawthorn v West Coast.
Both in horrific form, but in both Melbourne. Will want this. This is honestly, this is their grand final this week for both of these teams. The Xavier Ellis Cup, just everyone wants to take that home. It's fantastic.
Melbourne.
I have to say, in Melbourne, oh God, I'm going West Coast. Okay, I'm just going to kiss back them in again. I think that they can bounce back. They do love the G. That does not give them any trouble, so I'm going to go with them.
All right, mate, I'm with you on that one. Hey, have a good week, mate. Put the feet up. What's your little slogan you sign off with?
It's been real. It's been good. Just hasn't been real good.
There you go, mate. Enjoy your weekend or your week. What are we, Wednesday? Feels like a weekend already. Legs up, mate. Who we got on the podcast this week?
Rancy, actually. Big A Rance.
Ah, from Perth or in Melbourne?
He's in Melbourne.
Oh, nice. There you go. Is he actually knocking on doors himself? He is, isn't he? He's fully...
No, he's not knocking on doors himself. We actually did a good chat today, and I said to him before, I was like, mate, like, is it all sweet if I, ask you about your faith and religion? And he goes, yeah, man, of course, sweet. So I went in there and I was like, oh, look, speaking about retirement, obviously you're really committed to your faith and... I was just like, look, I've absolutely fucking butchered this, mate. So fucking awkward. what's your faith like? And they're just like, pissing ourselves. And it was actually almost a better thing. He's like, mate, that's the best question I've had because, for so many people asking him, you nearly think it's an offensive question, but it's not at all. It's just awkward. But he was like, mate, that's so funny. So he's more than happy and really, really interesting. I knew nothing about it. Yeah, there's still, I suppose, so much to learn. But, make sure you tune in and hear that one.
Absolutely. Did you ask him about the swingers party he organised at his parents' house?
No, I didn't ask him about that one.
No, you had a stalker. Anyway, that's a story for another day. All the best, mate. Have a good weekend, mate. And stick those things up. See you, bud. That's another episode of the Loose Ballers. Thanks to the brand new Mazda BT50, the complete package. Stick around. Because tomorrow, Robbo's sitting down with a guy who walked away from footy at a young age, Tom Swift. Now, I think Tom Swift, in my own personal opinion, was treated very, very harshly by his own fans. It was sad to see, but he's a smart guy and has a great tale to tell. So tune in tomorrow with Robbo interviewing Tom Swift. Goodbye.